And this is called The Allotment. "Morning, Derek," she said, walking up to his vegetable patch where Derek was pruning.
"Oh, hello, Joan. Nice day, isn't it?"
Derek said, standing up with a little bit of a groan. "It's not too shabby, is it?" she said, looking at the sky. "I think it's going to rain later, though." Joan pulled a face as she said this.
"I think you're right, Joan. Can't have too much sunshine, can we?"
he said with a chuckle. Joan joined in. "You're not wrong, Derek, you're not wrong." She surveyed the allotment and noted three other elderly gardeners at work on their patches. Also, there was a woman in her mid-30s wearing blue dungarees and a red scarf around her head, on her knees planting seeds. Joan's eye fell on her.
"How long has Madam been here?"
Joan said, her voice hard.
"She was here when I arrived around 7, Derek said.
"What's she growing?" said Joan, still watching.
"Kale,"
said Derek, eyebrows raised. Joan quickly turned to him, mouth open in alarm.
"Kale?"
she said, outraged.
"I told her."
Derek shook his head.
"She can't grow kale in Bermondsey."
Joan was flabbergasted.
"I told her,"
repeated Derek, still shaking his head.
"Oh, she's a funny one, coming in here with her fancy ideas how to grow. How long we been here, Derek?"
30 years,
Derek said on cue.
30 years, and Madam thinks she can teach us a thing or two.
Joan had picked up a shovel now.
"What was that rubbish she was spouting at the last meeting?" "Biodynamic growing methods,"
answered Derek. "Biodynamic growing methods. What tosh. What does she think we've been doing here, knitting for the last 30 years? Offered Joan.
"I know,"
said Derek. "I rue the day we ever let her in," Joan carried on.
"I know,"
repeated Derek. Joan was now digging furiously. "I said, though, didn't I? I said no to the application because she wasn't one of us, didn't I, Derek? I knew it was trouble from the moment I laid eyes on the madam." At that moment, the woman who they'd been talking about sees them and waves over. Immediately, they both wave, both smiling back.
"Friendly, though," said Derek.
"Yeah, I'll give her that," said Joan. Derek smiled then, unscrewed the flask and poured Joan a steaming cup of milky tea. Joan blew on the tea and took a sip.
"Ooh, just what the doctor ordered," she commented, still drinking. "How's that granddaughter of yours?"
asked Derek.
"She's grand. Graduating next week," she said proudly.
"No,
that went quick."
7 years, Derek. Goes by, doesn't it?" said Joan, pouring the dregs of tea onto the ground.
"So she's a doctor, officially, like," said Derek with enthusiasm.
"Oh, yes. She starts at a GP practice in Hemel Hempstead next month," Joan said boastfully.
"My word, Hemel Hempstead, who would have thought it? You must be over the moon,"
Derek cooed. "I'm pleased for her, Derek. She worked hard and it's paying off. She's like me, you know, got her genes in her, not like the other side of the family," Joan said, giving Derek a knowing look. "Hemel Hempstead, will I never," said Derek, lost in the moment. Joan looked at her watch and lightly clapped her hands together.
"Right, tea break's over, Derek. You ready?"
she said.
"Always ready, Joan."
Derek smiled and they both walked over from the plot towards one of the sheds at the end. As they got closer, Joan spots, tied on a tether by one of the buildings, a goat who was eating a pile of carrot tops on the floor.
"You got him then?"
she said, watching the goat warily.
"Yeah, I got him off Bob's mate, you know, the Middle Eastern fella."
Derek scratched his head.
"Ahmed," said Joan. "No, Melek," offered Joan. "Tom, that's it. Apparently, he has more goats than he knows what to do with."
Derek laughed as he said this. Joan laughed as well and pointed at the goat who was still eating the carrot tops.
"He looks healthy," she commented.
"Yeah, likes his food as well." "We'll bring him in the shed and then we'll make a start," said Joan, heading towards the garden shed. At the door, she made a strange gesture with her hands, opened the door and went in.
"Rightio,"
said Derek, and he untied the leash holding the goat and coaxed him inside the shed as well. The goat was goaded reluctantly inside, followed closely by Derek. Inside the shed, it was dimly lit by candlelight. Candles of all shapes and sizes were placed around the space. In the centre of the shed floor was an upside-down pentagram chalked into the wooden floor. Candles were placed all around the outline of the pentagram, burning brightly. Joan stood at the back of the shed, naked, holding a black hooded robe.
Come on, Derek, I haven't got all day.
She said, annoyed, throwing another black robe across the wall towards Derek, who caught it in one hand. Derek then takes off all his clothes, leaving him naked as well.
Bit chilly, innit?
Said Derek, putting the robe over his head and letting it cover his naked form. Joan did the same, and the goat knocked a few candles over. She then picked up an old black leather-bound book from the workbench and opened it up.
You ready?
She said to Derek. Derek nodded cheerfully and stepped inside the pentagram, grabbing the goat by its collar then pulling him in as well. Joan watched them, then stepped into the pentagram as well. It was a bit crowded. She started to read slowly from the book. O Master, we love you. O Master who rules in the world of fire, we are your humble servants. We are your puppets to do as you will. O Master, we want to summon one of your own. O Master, we want to summon Valentine the Raper. They both chanted this together. O Master, we are the selfless servants. We are yours to command. We do your bidding here on earth. We are faithful. Please accept our sacrifice. Joan put the book back on the workbench and nodded at Derek. Derek, with his left hand, drew out a long ancient knife from his robe and slit the goat's throat. There was a couple of bleats, and the goat staggered, then fell onto the floor. Blood poured from the dead goat across the floor and up to the edges of the pentagram, where they started a slow fizzing sound. The candles grew brighter as the blood boiled, and in the centre of the pentagram smoke, a figure started to appear. And if you really squinted, you could see it, of a being with a human body and what seemed to be a huge crocodile head. But then, with the smoke, it disappeared. The blood stopped boiling and the candles dimmed.
Oh no, exclaimed Joan.
What happened?
Said Derek, still holding the bloody knife. Not strong enough, said Joan.
Oh, that's a shame,
announced Derek.
I thought it was going all rather well,
said Joan.
Yeah, so did I. You read very beautifully, Joan, said Derek with a smile.
Thank you, Derek.
Do you think we needed to have sex in the blood?
Asked Derek.
I don't think it would have done any good, if I'm honest, Derek,
she said slowly.
Rightio,
said Derek and put the knife away. Joan picked up the book again, examining it carefully, and after a few moments, she slammed it shut with a wallop. We need a more powerful sacrifice, Derek, it says here, said Joan.
Oh, shall I ring Tom for some more goats?
I don't think any more goats are going to cut the mustard. She went over to the workbench and thought for a moment, then broke out in a big smile.
Why don't you invite Madam out there to come in for a nice cup of tea? Say we want to, oh, I don't know, need an expert advice on how to grow kale.
Derek looked at her, and then the penny dropped.
Rightio, I'm going to need a bigger knife,
he said, taking off his robe to put his normal clothes back on again. The candles in the shed began to swell brighter as Joan mopped away the blood of the last sacrifice. Thank you.